and the Negro Revolution. And in this case, he's contrasting the house Negro and the field Negro during slavery and in the modern age. And more particularly, while the 1963 March on Washington was considered by many people to be a wonderful, great thing, well, he was critical of it. And you can hear him more directly talk exactly why. Now, this speech that I'm excerpting, the message to the grassroots, was rated one of the top American speeches of the 21st century by 137 leading scholars of American public address. It was actually ranked 91st out of their top 100 picks. So we're going to be hearing that, and Chuck Yu, and Di, and Aaron Copeland. And you know what? It all starts right now with as I said, this Presidents of the United States of America kind of sandwich in between that. Yes. Right now, here on WMFO in Medford!
Under the island, middle of a mountain, there is a big bad booming system. Blowing speakers, woofers and tweeters, amplifiers, melted wires, the party's exploded. Core is corroded underground, the Puget Sound causing a shifting and a drifting. Big black boombox stuck in the hot rock. It's in there flowing, it's in there growing. You don't believe me that this scenery could be a cold-blooded killer. It's gonna blow, whoa, 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 volcano. It's gonna blow, whoa, whoa, whoa,
moment that we have left, we want to have just an off-the-cuff chat between you and me. Plus, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand. We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed, that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is us. We're her problem. The only reason she has a problem is she doesn't want us in. And every time you look at yourself, be you black, brown, red, or yellow, a so-called Negro, you represent a person who poses such a serious problem for America because you're not wanted. Once you face this as a fact, then you can start plotting a course that will make you appear intelligent instead of unintelligent. What you and I need to do is learn to forget our differences. When we come together, we don't come together as Baptists or Methodists. You don't catch hell because you're a Baptist, and you don't catch hell because you're a Methodist. You don't catch hell because you're a Methodist or a Baptist. You don't catch hell because you're a Democrat or a Republican. You don't catch hell because you're a Mason or an Elk. And you sure don't catch hell because you're an American, because if you was an American, you wouldn't catch no hell. You catch hell because you're a black man. You catch hell, all of us catch hell for the same reason. So we are all black people. So-called Negroes. Second-class citizens. Ex-slaves. You are nothing but an ex-slave. You don't like to be told that. But what else are you? You are ex-slave. You didn't come here on the make, y'all. Cousin came here in a slave ship. And you were brought here by the people who came here on the Mayflower. You were brought here by the so-called pilgrims or founding fathers. They were the ones who brought you here. We have a common enemy. We have this in common. We have a common oppressor, a common exploiter, and a common discriminator. But once we all realize that we have this common enemy, then we unite on the basis of what we have in common. And what we have foremost in common is that enemy, the white man. He's an enemy to all of us. I know some of you all think that some of them are enemies. Time will tell.
The following is a reading of the Mueller Report, pages 110 to 114.
5. June 9, 2016. Meeting at Trump Tower.
On June 9, 2016, senior representatives of the Trump campaign met in Trump Tower with a Russian attorney expecting to receive derogatory information about Hillary Clinton from the Russian government. The meeting was proposed by Donald Trump Jr. in an email from Robert Goldstone at the request of then-client Emin Agalarov, the son of Russian real estate developer Aras Agalarov. Goldstone relayed to Trump Jr. that the, quote,
Crown Prosecutor of Russia offered to provide the Trump campaign with some official documents and information that would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia as part of its government support for Mr. Trump.
Trump Jr. immediately responded that, if that's what you say, I love it, and arranged the meeting through a series of emails and telephone calls. Trump Jr. invited campaign chairman Paul Manafort and senior advisor Jared Kushner to attend the meeting, and both attended. Members of the campaign discussed the meeting before it occurred, and Michael Cohen recalled that Trump Jr. may have told candidate Trump about an upcoming meeting to receive adverse information about Clinton without linking the meeting to Russia. According to written answers submitted by President Trump, he has no recollection of learning of the meeting at the time, and the office found no documentary evidence showing that he was made aware of the meeting or its Russian connection before it occurred. The Russian attorney who spoke at the meeting, Natalia Veselnitskaya, had previously worked for the Russian government and maintained a relationship with the government throughout this period of time. She claimed that funds derived from illegal activities in Russia were provided to Hillary Clinton and other Democrats. Trump Jr. requested evidence to support those claims, but Veselnitskaya did not provide such information. She and her associates then turned to a critique of the origins of the Magnitsky Act, a 2012 statute that imposed financial and travel sanctions on Russian officials, and that resulted in a retaliatory ban on adoptions of Russian children. Trump Jr. suggested that the issue could be revisited when and if candidate Trump was elected. After the election, Veselnitskaya made additional efforts to follow up on the meeting, but the Trump transition team did not engage.
A. Setting up the June 9 meeting. A1. Outreach to Donald Trump Jr.
Real estate developer with ties to Putin and other members of the Russian government, including Russia's Prosecutor General, Yuri Chitka. Oris Agalarov is the president of the Caracas Group, a Russian enterprise that holds substantial Russian government construction contracts and that, as disclosed above, Volume 1, Section 4A1, worked with Trump in connection with the 2013 Miss Universe pageant in Moscow and a potential Trump-Moscow real estate project. The relationship continued over time as the parties pursued the Trump-Moscow project in 2013 and 2014 and exchanged gifts and letters in 2016. For example, on April 2016, Trump responded to a letter from Aris Agalarov with a handwritten note. Aris Agalarov expressed interest in Trump's campaign, passed on congratulations for winning in the primary and, according to one email drafted by Goldstone,
an offer of his support and that of many of his important Russian friends and colleagues, especially with reference to U.S.-Russian relations.
On June 3, 2016, Emin Agarov called Goldstone, Emin's then publicist. Goldstone is a music and events promoter who represented Emin Agarov from approximately late 2012 until late 2016. While representing Emin Agarov, Goldstein facilitated an ongoing contact between the Trumps and the Agarovs, including an invitation that Trump sent to Putin to attend the 2013 Miss Universe pageant in Moscow. Statements redacted. Goldstone understood, statement redacted, a Russian political connection, and Emin Agalarov indicated that the attorney was a prosecutor. Goldstone recalled that the information that might interest the Trumps involved Hillary Clinton, statement redacted. The statement redacted, mentioned by Emin Agarov, was Natalia Veselnitskaya.
Footnote 676. In December 2018, a grand jury in the Southern District of New York returned an indictment charging Veselnitskaya with obstructing the Prevezon litigation discussed in the text above. See indictment United States v. Natalia Vladimirovna Veselnitskaya. The indictment alleges, among other things, that Veselnitskaya lied to the district court about her relationship to the Russian Prosecutor General's office and her involvement in responding to a U.S. document request sent to the Russian government.
From approximately 1998 to 2001, Veselnitskaya worked as a prosecutor for the Central Administrative District of the Russian Prosecutor's Office, footnote 677, redacted. And she continued to perform government-related work and maintain ties to the Russian government following her departure.
Footnote 678. Testimony of Natalia Veselnitskaya before the Senate Committee on Judiciary, November 20, 2017, at 33. Keir Simmons and Rachel Elbaum, Russian lawyer Veselnitskaya, says she didn't give Trump Jr. info on Clinton. NBC News, July 11, 2017. Maria Tetzkova and Jack Snubbs, Moscow lawyer who met Trump Jr., had Russian spy agency as client. Reuters, July 21, 2017. Andrew E. Kramer and Sharon LaFanere, lawyer who was said to have dirt on Clinton, had closer ties to Kremlin than she let on. New York Times, April 27, 2018.
She lobbied and testified about the Magnitsky Act, which imposed financial sanctions and travel restrictions on Russian officials and which was named for a Russian tax specialist who exposed the fraud and later died in a Russian prison.
In Bandung, back in, I think, 1954, was the first unity meeting in centuries of black people. And once you study what happened at the Bandung Conference and the results of the Bandung Conference, it actually serves as a model for the same procedure you and I can use to get our problems solved. At Bandung, all the nations came together. There were dark nations from Africa and Asia. Some of them were Buddhists. Some of them were Muslim. Some of them were Christian. Some of them were Confucianists. Some were atheists. Despite their religious differences, they came together. Some were communists, some were socialists, some were capitalists. Despite their economic and political differences, they came together. All of them were black, brown, red, or yellow. The number one thing that was not allowed to attend the Bandung Conference was the white man. He couldn't come. Once they excluded the white man, they found that they could get together. Once they kept him out, everybody else fell right in and fell in line. This is the thing that you and I have to understand. And these people who came together didn't have nuclear weapons. They didn't have jet planes. They didn't have all of the heavy armaments that the white man has. But they had unity. They were able to submerge their little petty differences and agree on one thing. That though one African came from Kenya and was being colonized by the Englishmen, and another African came from the Congo and was being colonized by the Belgian, and another African came from Guinea and was being colonized by the French, and another came from Angola and was being colonized by the Portuguese, when they came to the Bandung Conference, they looked at the Portuguese and at the Frenchmen. And at the Englishmen, and at the other Dutchmen, and learn or realize that the one thing that all of them had in common, they were all from Europe. They were all Europeans, blonde, blue-eyed, and white-skinned. They begin to recognize who their enemy was. The same man that was colonizing our people in Kenya was colonizing our people in the Congo. The same one in the Congo was colonizing our people in South Africa. and in southern Rhodesia, and in Burma, and in India, and in Afghanistan, and in Pakistan. They realized all over the world where dark man was being oppressed, he was being oppressed by the white man. Where the dark man was being exploited, he was being exploited by the white man. So they got together under this basis, that they had a common enemy. And when you and I here in Detroit and in Michigan and in America, who have been awakened today, look around us, we too realize here in America, we all have a common enemy. Whether he's in Georgia or Michigan, whether he's in California or New York, he's the same man. Blue eyes and blonde hair and pale skin. Same man. what they had, they settled among themselves. Go into the huddle. Don't let the enemy know that you got a disagreement. Instead of us airing our differences in public, we have to realize we're all the same family. And when you have a family squabble, you don't get out on the sidewalk. If you do, everybody calls you uncouth, unrefined, uncivilized, savage. If you don't make it at home, you settle it at home. You get in the closet, argue it out behind closed doors. And then when you come out on the street, you pose a common front, a united front. And this is what we need to do in the community and in the city and in the state. We need to stop airing our differences in front of the white man. Put the white man out of our meeting, number one. And then sit down and talk shop with each other.
trip. You can send your friend a postcard. It ain't worth the trip. Everybody wants to be naked and famous. Everybody wants to be just like me. I'm naked. Everybody wants to be naked and famous. Everybody wants to be just like me. I'm naked. Everybody wants to be naked and famous. Everybody wants to be just like me. I'm naked.
You're tuned in to the Tears of the Gods sound collage here on WMFO in Medford, and we are celebrating the Independence Day weekend. In that last half hour plus set, we heard from some real Americans. The modern classical composer, well, 20th century classical composer, American classical composer Aaron Copland. That was his Billy the Kid orchestral suite from the ballet for about 20 minutes of the set. And we heard mixed on top of that one of the greatest American speeches, as rated by leading scholars of American public address. Yes, that was the American freedom fighter and human rights activist, Malcolm X, and excerpts from his 1963 speech, Message to the Grassroots. And then also thanks to Chuck U and Die for their dramatic readings from some of the Mueller Report. And just in case it wasn't clear at the beginning of the show, the views and opinions expressed herein reflect those of the participants and not necessarily those of Tufts University, the Board of Trustees of Tufts, who's actually responsible for the whole shebang here, the WMFO exec board, who's responsible certainly in their own particular way. But the big message is that all of the people in the chain of command here are just letting the participants express their views and not claiming that they're the views of the producers. And that includes me, certainly. Part of the production chain here for sure. And then the kind of bookends of all of that were the presidents of the United States of America, our featured artists this evening. And at one end, namely the beginning end, that was their song Volcano from their second album. And then at the other end, Naked and Famous, from the other end, their first album. And yeah, actually, Naked and Famous, I was listening today as I was wandering around Somerville and Cambridge doing some of my errands. I was listening to a podcast, the BBC, BBC Radio 4, one of their 100 15-minute podcasts about the history of the world and 100 objects. And they were talking about what's known as the Flood Tablet, Assyrian cuneiform tablet made out of clay that is thousands of years old. And at one point, well, they had all these clay tablets that were discovered, and they didn't know what was on them over at the British Museum. And this guy, George Smith, was very talented and very interested in Assyrian culture. And so he would go over there and spend his lunch times actually trying to decipher the cuneiform script. And he did that pretty well. It's a laborious, very intensive kind of thing. And one day, as he was translating one of the tablets, he was struck by the story that it told. It was about a man who was commanded by God to build a ship because a great rain was coming that was going to flood the whole earth. And George Smith realized that this was the story of Noah, way before the Hebrews had come up with that particular story. And he was just shocked. And in fact, he started laughing and giggling, and people were like, what's going on with George there? And he got so excited when he realized what he had discovered that he took off his clothes. And yes, as the presidents of the United States described in that song, Naked and Famous, George Smith was naked at the time, and he certainly became famous for his discovery. And with all that said, we've got just about 20 minutes left in our America Remixed episode of Tears of the Gods this evening. And we are going to bring you our third and final set here with Bella Fleck, Cheech and Chong, and Melissa Etheridge. Here's yet another very cool cover of a classic American song. This is Bella Fleck on banjo, the Star Spangled Banner, from his Flight of the Cosmic Hippo here on WMFO in Manford. Tears of the Gods. Wake up, America. In 2 minutes or so. Cha-cha-cha.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Horrendo Revolver, and welcome to Wake Up America. This evening on Wake Up America, we're going to take an in-depth look at the recording industry. Now, recently, the industry has undergone severe criticism for its alleged use of drugs, sex, and payola in the sale and promotion of records. Now, the building I'm standing in front of right now is Monster Recording Studios, where all the sounds of Shape the 60s were recorded. And we're going to walk inside the studio tonight, visit one of the sessions, just drop in unexpectedly, unannounced, and see what goes on. So here we go. We're going to open the door now and let the chips fall where they may.
Hold it. Security here. Where do you think you're going?
Excuse me, sir. I'm Horrendo Revolver, and these are my cameramen, and we're doing an expose on the recording industry, and we just want to drop into one of the sessions unannounced to see what goes on.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir. Okay, guys, let's go. Okay, we're going to just walk into the first session that we see. Oh, there's a red light on now. That means a session's in session. Okay, guys, let's hit it. We're going right through that door. This is Horrendo Revolver out here on the fire escape. And there's a magnificent view of the city that we thought you folks would like to see before we go back in the studios and have a great expose on the recording industry.
Whoa! Yeah!
Oh, okay, folks, we're back inside the hallway now.
Yeah.
And as you can hear, there's a session going on behind that door. It sounds very much like one of those English groups. So we're going to go through that door and see what's going on right now.
Oh, those burritos. Hey, I wouldn't go in there if I was you, man.
Excuse me. Could you tell us, where is there a session in this studio?
Studio C, man. It's happening, yeah.
Oh, thanks a lot. Let's see. Studio C. Oh, there it is, right over there next to Studio A. Come on, guys, let's go in. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. There's a session happening here, all right. We're just going to walk around and talk to some people now. Let's see. That man over there behind the board with a funny hat and a beard looks like the producer. Let's talk to him. Excuse me, sir. I'm Horrendo Revolver. And we're
here
to do
a... man, where you dudes been? Man, you've been hanging us up.
Well, we've been on the fire escape and in the bathroom.
Yeah, well, never mind all that. Now, which one's the tenor? You the tenor? Yeah, well, listen, here's your part. Sweet soul sounds are stirring my soul. You got that?
Wait a minute, sir. I don't think you understand. I'm Horrendo Revolver.
I don't understand. Look, dude, I'm the producer. I understand everything. You don't understand. Here's your part, sucker. Now get over there and sing it. Sweet soul sounds are stirring my soul.
Well, okay. Sweet soul sounds are stirring my soul.
Yeah, that's great, man. Only let's try it without the slobber this time.
Wait a minute, sir. I don't think you understand. I'm Horrendo Revolver from WHIC.
Oh, man. You a jock. Oh, I thought you was a background singer, man. Hey, listen, I'm Needmo. Needmo Tracks, man. I'm the producer here. Hey, listen, what do you need, man? Anything you want, you got, brother. You want some coke? I got some dynamite blow for you. Want a little toot for the snoot? It's good, man. It's pharmaceutical. You blow your head off, man.
No, thank you.
What do you want, some smoke? Hey, I got some dynamite Jamaican flower tops, man. It one joint, that's right. Let's just roll the man a joint.
Well, I'm sure flower tops are very pretty, but what we're really after,
sir... Oh, right, I'm sorry, man. I should have started off with that. You want a broad, right. Hey, you, baby. Yeah, you, come on over here. Listen, you heard a deep throat? This is a sister, sore throat. Man, be careful with her. She was at a big promotion convention, so she's a little tired, but she's a dynamite broad. Hey, baby, take care. What's your name?
Horrendo Revolver.
Take care of Horace for me, baby. Hey, but listen, man, before you get hung up with the broad, I want you to give a listen to this Monster Smash dynamite hit we've been working on, man. This tune is a monster, man. This sucker is so bad, it ought to jump on the charts at number one with a bullet. With your help, of course, you know what I mean. Hey, but listen, man. Really, this tune is different. It's a cowboy tune. Man, do you like country and western music?
Oh, sure. I think it's super.
Well, let's give a listen to this. Lester, let's do another take.
Take 48.
Thank you.
crazier than that.
Oh, Mr. Trax, that was a super smash single. That's just sensational. I really want to thank you for all the help you've given me today.
Hey, baby, don't thank me. Just play my record.
Oh, I sure will. I'll play that record all the time. Thanks a lot, Mr. Trax.
Hey, thank you, brother.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have seen what goes on in the recording industry. I don't have to say a thing. It all speaks for itself. I can only say that what's happening in the recording industry only reflects what's happening in society today. This is Horrendo Revolver saying good night for Wake Up America.
Wake up, America, you're dreaming.
Come on, guys, let's get out of here.
Hold it. Security, where do you think you're going?
Well, we're done now. Well, we were just going to go home.
Just going to go home?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm sorry, you'll have to have a pass.
Well, we don't have a pass.
You don't have a pass?
No, sir.
Well, how did you get in here?
Huh?
You, up against the wall. Turn around. Come on.
Come inside.
Kitty, I'm a foot and I wanna touch it. Kitty, I'm a foot and I wanna touch it. Kitty, I'm a foot and I wanna touch it. Kitty, I'm a foot and I wanna touch it. Kitty, I'm a foot and I wanna touch it. Kitty, I'm a foot and I wanna touch it. Kitty, I'm a foot and I wanna touch it. Kitty, I'm a foot and I want to touch it.
Meow, 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 meow. So satisfied, a pussy burn and looking so satisfied. I'm lost in his little yellow round eye, lost in his little yellow round eye. Pussy burn and looking so satisfied. A kitty rare up and scratch me through my jeans. Kitty rare up and scratch me through my jeans. Y'all gonna spend the night. Cute kitty, y'all gonna spend the night. Cute kitty, y'all gonna spend the night. Outside!
Kitty, I'm a foot and I wanna touch it. Kitty, I'm a foot and I wanna touch it. Kitty, I'm a foot and I wanna touch it. Kitty, I'm a foot and I wanna touch it. Kitty, I'm a foot and I wanna touch it. Kitty, I'm a foot and I wanna touch it. Kitty, I'm a foot and I wanna touch it. Kitty, I'm a foot and I wanna touch it.
Listening to the Tears of the Gods sound collage only here on WMFO in Medford. Tufts Freeform and sometimes educational radio. And I hope you have found this evening's sound collage somewhat educational, as we heard excerpts from one of the most significant American speeches of the 20th century. That'd be Malcolm X's message to the grassroots from 1963, which we heard in the prior set, along with some excerpts from the Mueller Report by Chuck Yu and Dai. And meanwhile, in this set, well, yes, we weren't quite so erudite and educational, but more entertaining. We began with Bella Fleck playing the banjo and his version of the Star Spangled Banner from his album Flight of the Cosmic Hippo. Then we heard from Cheech and Chong, Wake Up America. And then Melissa Etheridge, All American Girl, kind of wedged in between that Wake Up America and then the conclusion of it that we heard immediately afterwards. And both of those tracks were on Cheech and Chong's album Where There's Smoke, There's Cheech and Chong. And then we closed the set with our featured artists of the evening, the presidents of the United States of America, and the clean cats version of Kitty. I use my sonic hammer of the gods to make it fit for our public radio airwaves. So I hope you've been enjoying this wonderful holiday weekend, and I hope you stay safe while you're doing it. Remember, if you're under the influence of anything, never even think about getting behind the wheel of a motorized vehicle and driving. That can lead to tragedy and death and pain. And we want you and your friends and your family to all have fun and be safe. So, coming up the next 2 weeks, we are approaching the 50th anniversary of the first human landing on the moon. And I think we're going to be celebrating that for more than 1 week, because space is a theme I love. And there's a lot of history that to tell about with that. So that's what I predict our sound collages are going to be having in the next 2 weeks. And that should be a lot of fun. Meanwhile, we are going to finish. We're going to conclude our episode this evening of America Remixed with yet another cool cover version of a song. And, well, shout out to Frank Rosano, host of Rosano Radio on Mondays from 10 to noontime. And this week he was playing the original.